Well, I want to talk to you about repentance and spiritual warfare, which is especially needed in these days. I looked at a Bible code video, and I saw that Trump seems to win the presidency, but the code also says in the Matrix, quote, "Saints win," unquote. And then a little further down, it has, quote, 3 years, unquote. And then it has a half year, unquote. So 3.5 years. This all made me think of Pharaoh and Moses commanding in the name of the Lord Pharaoh to get God's people, to set God's people free. It made me think of making spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness, working through them to keep God's people in bondage, along with Soros and his kind, who bankroll ISIS and BLM and people like that to overthrow the West. We need some warfare. And this also made me think of what the Lord showed me, that this attack on God's people is 3.5 years too soon, because the beast makes war on the saints after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's why I think the 3.5 years was in there. So that's very interesting. It's a very big matrix. After looking at that, I looked and found some codes that could be saying Hillary would win, and I believe this is all conditional as to whether the saints in the bride are like Esther and will be holy and will fight against Haman. It reminded me of Michael Drosnin's code that said five roads, five ways, which could have meant different paths the future can take compared to how people live and obey the word or not, you know. So I believe that the codes I looked at were conditional upon God's people's actions. So I looked for more codes and found some more. I'll post these for you. Glazerson pointed out in a code in which Trump wins the election, this same kind of condition, repentance and obedience. And I believe this is concerning the bride and the man-child, as the book of Esther shows. The church didn't know what was going on, right, in the time of Esther. It was a sudden shock to them. But they all did go to repentance and crying out to the Lord. Also, the word, quote, believe, unquote, was in there. And, quote, the truth, unquote, was in there. And that is the first code video I was talking about just a minute ago. And it was on the same skip, which says the truth needs to be believed, right? Luke 10 and 19, here's some truth. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. All the power of the enemy. In Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We've been given the authority. And we've been, of course, looking to see what the Lord wants us to believe for. We're asking questions in our morning prayer meeting and getting answers like that. We want to know where the line is. We want to take as much ground as we can. You know, considering the judgments, I want to throw this in here, considering the judgments that are about to come, I'm not sure we even need martial law. I know it's one of the things that the Lord has threatened, But it may be one of those things that we can take authority over. Y'all pray about that. I'm going to. Also, God, through the man-child, will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, as it was with Moses at the Red Sea. Haggai 2:20, which we've received several times in our morning meeting, on down through 23, says, "And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the," and it's the 9th month, because it was mentioned 9th above this, 9th month. And that's how we're getting the possibility that it is September the 24th, right? "Saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah," who is a type of the man-child, "saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms," plural. And we do know that these earthquakes do go around the world once they get started. I think it has to do with the earth turning as Planet X goes by, and an earth tide, an extreme earth tide, not like we have with the moon. "And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations." Now, that's pretty plain. "And I will overthrow the chariots, and those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders shall come down." And so, that's what I'm asking you, saints. Let's be praying and speaking and commanding and taking authority to do this, and let's don't be double-minded when we see things that don't look like it. Just keep on believing, right? And their riders shall come down, and every one by the sword of his brother. Now, that wasn't talking about the last time, because that didn't happen when the chariots went down in the Red Sea and the riders went down in the Red Sea. But this is talking about a text that we've gotten commonly. And I'll share that in a minute. "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel," born from Babylon, "the man-child, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts." So this is the sign of the man-child. And this also points out division in the ranks of the enemy, as in 2 Chronicles 20, which we've received many times in our morning meeting too, where three armies come against the bride and were split and conquered because they conquered each other. So we can pray for that. In fact, I think it's already happening because we have been praying for this. So begin to pray for that. The enemy is angry with each other. Anyway, Trump could be a signal of the first Trump, which is at the same time as the first seal of Revelation 6 of the coming man-child coming to conquer, because the words, quote, "white horse," unquote, is there in the same code. And that's the first Trump, not the sixth Trump, as the person in the code thinks. Okay? The sixth Trump could only be used as a type and a description. It can't be used as a timing, okay? The timing is definitely the first Trump. That's where the white horse comes, right? Okay. These codes point out, like in the first video that I looked at, I'm going to give you several videos, but in the first video, that the polls and the media lie, quote unquote, and that things will be revealed, quote. Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, quote unquote. And then there's, quote, wiki, unquote, and then, quote, leaks, unquote. Assange, quote unquote. Emails, quote unquote. Foundation, quote unquote. Clinton, quote unquote. Rodham, quote unquote. To prison, quote unquote, can't hide, quote unquote, fraud, quote unquote. Not, in other words, I'm saying these are in the matrix, separate in a pretty tight little matrix, but it's a very large matrix, but they're all tied in the same area. All things we know about and recognize and know that they're going on, just to identify things, you know. Fraud, quote unquote. Scams, quote unquote. Rigged, quote unquote. To steal, quote unquote. I not let. I believe God's saying that, quote unquote. Treason, quote unquote. Uncovered, quote unquote. Fired. You remember one of Trump's favorite words? Quote unquote is there. Forgive is there, quote unquote. It's I believe this could speak to many people who want to get prayers answered from God, maybe even Trump himself. So we can pray about all these things, right? No limit to our prayers, right? September, quote unquote, is mentioned in this first code. HC, short for Hillary Clinton, loses, quote unquote. Prayed. See, now we're talking about the saints winning something here, much like the bride won with Haman, right? Parade, quote unquote. That's a pretty neat Bible code, isn't it? And I tell you what, saints, there's probably a lot more in there that hasn't been discovered. That's the thing. What you need to do when you get a bunch of short words like this is start working on both ends of that, asking for something else that you think might be there, and you can work it on out into quite a bit, you know, sometimes. Elected, DT, short for Donald Trump. And also, quote, unquote, Donald. To delay, quote, unquote. New World Order, quote, unquote. Now, the order of these doesn't have to be the way I'm saying it. This is just how it is in the matrix, right? Trump sees, quote, unquote. No fear, quote, unquote. That could be talking about him or us. To save, quote unquote. At elite, quote unquote. Murdered, quote unquote. In other words, it even has a note in that about those that were murdered, their names, they're all recorded in the Bible codes. Can you imagine? Elect's sake, quote unquote. In other words, those days are shortened. That text was there. That was a one skip sequence, meaning it was actually in the surface text. For the elect's sake, right? Those days are shortened. And then, quote, 3 years, unquote. And, quote, a half, unquote, were given. And here's one from DJT, Donald J. Trump, quote unquote. And here's one, DT is delay, quote unquote. What's he talking about, the delay? I believe it's the 3.5-year delay to get things actually the way it works out in scriptures. Remember, the scriptures can't be changed, right? Everything else has got to change, so. And elected, DT, quote unquote. I delay, quote unquote. AC is BHO. AC is Antichrist, you know, that's Obama. And of course, I believe that. I don't believe he's the Antichrist. I believe he is a Antichrist, because that's what the scripture teaches. Anyway, quote, Donald Trump, trumpet, unquote. Okay, that's cool. For mercy, quote unquote. Yes, it is the mercy of God. Saints win, quote unquote. DT, win all. Donald Trump, win all, quote unquote. DT chosen, quote unquote. DT is Prezi. It don't have dent there. Could be a letter messed up. I don't know. Or maybe that's all that was there. DT is Prezi, or President, quote unquote. Interesting here. Came to me, quote unquote. You think he's saying that he comes to God? I know they're saying he already has, but anyway, that's not saying whether he has or whether he will, but it's saying came to me. All right, so that's interesting. So, of course, it could say he didn't come to me, but they didn't get he didn't in there. So you don't know. See, that's the thing about the Bible code. You know, we do the best we can with it. If you get a word of knowledge, Joe, you know right what to do, you know. So let me say, go to work, saints. This is something to pray about. This is something to do spiritual warfare about. You know, the words, the truth, quote unquote, is there. Loud voice, quote unquote. That sounds like him, don't it? C3, quote unquote. End of days, quote unquote. God's mercy, quote unquote. No fear, quote unquote. And then I'm just going to give a bunch of links here that you can look at. And I say pray these. One of these links is very interesting because the context of the codes in one of these links is in the story of Cyrus. It's right in the midst of that story of Cyrus. And, you know, people have said that they felt that Cyrus, and I thought so too, he could well be Osiris to come and destroy Babylon in a way. And so anyway, I'll leave that with you. Sacrifice yourselves, saints, and go to spiritual warfare. I may update this after we post it if anybody gets anything they need to send to me that'll be significant. I don't have a whole lot of time, so it has to be significant, right? And then I got this word question from Eve on the 7th. I asked Father for a word about what was on his heart to speak to me today and received Jeremiah 11 and 9. And I quote 9 through 14. Jeremiah 11 and 9, and the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words. Of course, this was Zedekiah, apostate Jerusalem, and his gang. That's the apostate leadership of Christianity out there. That's what this text represents. That's what the Lord showed us. And they are gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. And, of course, Judah is spirit-filled Christianity that's running after other gods and so on and so forth. You know, and that's true. I mean, they're caught up in all kinds of stuff like the false revival movement, the faction movement, all other kinds of movements out there. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and they shall cry it unto me, but I will not hearken unto them. They have to repent, right? Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto which they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. So Baal won't help. Their false Jesus won't help them. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me because of their trouble. And then Eve asks a question about this. Do you think he doesn't want us to pray against what he is proposing for his people who are in idolatry? I'm wondering how to apply this text during this time of fasting and warfare in light of the Bible codes. She's talking about the ones we're talking about right now. Well, I answered, I said, I think that we have to pray for them for repentance and revival. God is able to grant this so that they will be entitled to life. 1 John 5:16 says, if any man see his brother sinning a sin not unto death, which means it's under the blood, right? It might be ignorance, it might be failure or whatever, you know. He shall ask of God, and he will give him life, life, for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I believe this is willful disobedience, Hebrews 10:26-27. He says, not concerning this do I say that he should make request. In other words, don't ask for life for somebody that's in willful disobedience. Ask that they repent. Ask God to grant them the fear of God and repentance, right? Because him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And those who do not forgive are not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, what are you going to get from God? Nothing. Okay. Verse 17, all righteousness is sin, then there is a sin not unto death. Yes, that's the ignorance, failure, so on and so forth. A person wants to do good, but is failing. The factious and those like them who believe in Baal, which is another Jesus, are dead to God. He says, not unto death. This is a sin unto death that they do, because they're dead to God. They have no conscience of Scripture. And, of course, I'm hoping that they will find mercy and forgiveness, so their time is up. In other words, God, like Nebuchadnezzar, brought him through a time and brought him out of it. So let's pray for that, okay? And Luke 23:34 says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was very good. He had to do that. Jesus had to do that. But according to his own parable, his father sent his armies and destroyed them. Matthew 22:1. And Jesus answered and spake again a parable unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. But the king was wroth. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Okay, so you see there is precedent for what I'm saying here. We need to pray that God grant them repentance and the fear of the Lord. You can't say God give them life because they're not repented. Then we got this revelation. It's so interesting how we keep getting these revelations right on time with other things that all come together to make a wonderful teaching or revelation. And this was Sandy Shaw on the 4th of this month. We called it, What Are You Doing? In this dream, I'm in a huge old mansion. It must have been 3 or 4 stories high. And I believe, from looking at the whole context here, that this represents Christianity as it once was. Like 1 John, and of course there are people that are living that way. You know, 1 John 2:24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So that's that old-time religion, right? Can't change it. Can't add to it. Can't take away from it. That's what he said. So we got to go back to it. I was standing on the balcony of the second floor. So it's 3 or 4 tall, and she's on the second floor. I'm thinking this is a graduation thing, you know. Looking down on the right side, there was a huge magnolia tree that was budding. Well, magnolias bloom in spring, but they also can bud in the fall. We've received many revelations that spring will come in fall. Passover is is in spring, but it's spiritually may come in fall this time. Passover. You know, the Passover of Planet X, the destroyer, and a lot of other stuff. And a sign given us last year was that many trees bloomed in the fall. We had never, ever seen anything like that. Never. It was extremely unusual. Like I said, we got a cherry blossom and said, okay, Lord, we want another confirmation. Put a cherry in that blossom. And he did. Praise the Lord, he did. Astounding. There was a family sitting on a blanket having a picnic. There was also different people riding on bicycles and laughing and having fun. And there were some people on their cell phones. I can see some people in a field playing baseball. These people were not doing anything wrong, but were not listening to God, and God was not number one in their lives. And you know, saints, it's a time to sacrifice ourselves in prayer and interceding for those who don't know the judgments coming upon us. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, let us also, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. See, there are things that aren't sin, but they are weights to keep us back, right? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And of course, if God tells you not to do it, to go and do this instead, then it is sin. It's something that normally wouldn't be sin, but it is sin then. Philippians 2:4, not looking each one of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Think about all the people who are in the way of these judgments. They need your prayers. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Confess that. That's a good confession. Then in a distance I saw a huge wave coming. If you remember, she had one recently about this too, a huge wave coming. This is, of course, a different parable, but it wasn't as if I saw a beach. I just saw water. Well, that could be significant. It could be that it's not a physical wave, you know. This wave could represent the enemy about to come against God's people, like ISIS, martial law, the government. Jude 1:13, wild waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever. So waves can be used quite differently than literal waves, right? In Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest. Its waters cast up mire and dirt. Or the wave could represent natural judgments like earthquakes, tsunamis, weather warfare, which I'm convinced they're doing. If you do a little study on the internet, you'll see that there's pretty good absolute proof, I think, of that. And it seems that they're driving people away from the coast. At any rate, or it could be all of the above, right? The wave I'm talking about. From the balcony, I started yelling to get their attention. Come on, you have to come up. The water is coming. And water can represent the curse of the word, which comes to those who are disobedient, like Deuteronomy 28 teaches. If you don't come up, you will stay in danger. Well, that sounds like you can get out of all of the danger if you come up. Doesn't it sound like that? Mm-hmm. Please hear me, she said. So those who hear and do not delude themselves, as James said, right? And they are responsible. Coming up means going to a safe place in God. Innocence and faith is important for this. You can't have a conscience that's defiled if you're going to have faith, right? And Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Book of Revelation tells you those in heavenly places the beast couldn't touch. Those on the earth, they could. So get up there in them heavenly places and start praying for the people that are down there on the dirt. On the mud ball, right? Spiritually speaking. The people looked up at me, but no one came up. Okay, so we need to pray for them. This is a warning right here. We need to pray for them. We need to exercise our faith and pray, call out for them. Look, don't get caught up in the affairs of this life right now. You need to do this. The bride does this. Read the book of Esther. She went out for the people of God. She spent her time trying to save them. She said, then Missy came up and said, look, and I said, look. And she looked down from the balcony too, and I said, they won't come up. Then I pointed to show Missy the wave that was coming. They won't come up, and they are in danger. And Missy looked at me and said, maybe they're supposed to drown. Well, that's true about some, absolutely. Then Sandy said, I said, couldn't we at least pray for them first? I had no longer finished saying that, and the water was there. Well, prayer and faith is how we can help most so that God save whom He will, right? And if we don't do it now, trying to do it at the last minute won't work. Notice, it won't work. The wave was there. Waited too long. Please don't do that. I saw a newborn and 6-month-old babies on top of the wave. I believe babies represent the weak, innocent, and humble of God's people. I said, come on, Missy, let's grab the babies. And between the two of us, we grabbed them all in 2 armfuls. And, of course, this is what we can do by faith in prayer. We can save people by doing that. Because God said He'll answer our prayers. He gave us authority against the principalities and powers. And He said He would hear our prayers. So let's pray. If you're a believer, you certainly know that God answers prayer. The wave came up to the top of the railing, but it came no further. We only felt a mist from the water. And then I woke up. So if you're up there, you're safe. Well, this dream made me ask a question. Was I too busy doing my own thing and not hearing from the Lord? A good idea does not necessarily mean it is God's plan. Agreed. People are just all the time doing good ideas, but it has nothing to do with what the Lord wants you to do right now. And this is a good question for everybody right now to ask themselves, you know. Because many are in danger. And she gives the verse Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Oh, yes. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Because if you don't, you might miss out. If you don't pray for these people, you might miss out. I'm going to share this parable with you that says exactly that. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Saving the babies. Notice the others didn't pay any attention. The grown-ups. But saving the babies represents the weak, the innocent, the ignorant, and the humble of God's people, I believe. And when we know what is coming, why would we not act as Mordecai and Esther did? Because they knew what was coming. Esther 3:8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are different from those of every people. Well, that's true. Our laws are. Neither keep they the king's laws, and that's true quite a bit too. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have the charge of the king's business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from off his hand, gave it unto Haman, that's his sign of authority, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as seemeth good to thee. What God is saying is, okay, beast, sick 'em. They're bad, they're disobedient, sick 'em. You think he didn't do that? There's no place in the Bible that any beast ever attacked God's people, and it wasn't God that sent it. It's clear. Verse 12. Then were the king's scribes called in the first month, in the 13th day thereof, and there was written according to all that Haman commanded unto the king's satraps and to the governors that were in every province, and to the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring. In other words, he had authority to do that. And letters were sent by posts unto all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now, I'm sure there's people out there saying, oh, they ain't planning to do that. You don't know. They are planning to do that. The Lord has spoken to us in dreams and visions about it, and the proof has been found. ISIS was created for that purpose, and they've been brought into the country for that purpose. In so many different ways, they've been brought into the country across the border illegally. They make the border guard stand down. They won't let them stop them. They're just flooding in over the border, come in UPS planes from overseas. They come across the border in whited out Homeland Security buses. They bring them in any way they can get them in here. Yes, they're getting ready. And there are a lot of young men of military age. And as you remember, they were running around the country getting bomb-making materials the last time, and then they quit advertising that anymore. Getting propane canisters and cell phones and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Verse 14, a copy of the writing that the decree should be given out in every province was published unto all the peoples, that they should be ready against that day. The post went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Yeah, I can imagine. And on down 4:1. Now when Mordecai knew all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Amen. So, why should we be any different? We're in the same situation here, you know. And he came even before the king's gate, for none might enter within the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whither the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. Well, there it is. Somebody's got to do it. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told it her. And the queen was exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take his sackcloth off of him, but he received it not. And then called Esther for Hathach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and charged him to go to Mordecai to know what this was and why it was. So Hathach went forth to Mordecai unto the broad place of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. So let me say, go in unto the king, and make request for his people. Is that not what we're being told here very plainly? And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hathach and gave him a message unto Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whenever man or woman shall come in unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law for him, and that is that he be put to death, except those to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai bade them return answer to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house will perish. Oh my goodness. So you see, we do need to do this. It does not please God. And who knoweth whether thou art not come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, absolutely. That's what we've come here for. Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And of course, we've received words about, several words about fasting and praying, and we're all doing it. We're fasting, we're praying, we're seeking the Lord, we're asking, what can we pray about? We're getting answers, we're going to the Lord. Now that's why I'm sending this to you, right? Matthew 18:14 says, even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. There's them babies. Get to praying. There's them babies, Proverbs 24:11, deliver them that are carried away unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, see that thou hold back. If thou sayest, behold, we knew not this, doth not he that weigheth the hearts consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? See, but you know it. I'm telling you, you know it. It's very plain what the Lord is commanding us to do now. Fast and pray and seek God. And ask for mercy and grace. Jeremiah 21:12, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, execute justice in the morning, and deliver him that is robbed out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my wrath go forth like fire, and burn so that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Well, so he's saying, look, you're not going to escape if you don't pray for these people. All right? Pray for those in the Middle East, those saints that are suffering over there and dying over there. Proverbs 24:11, deliver them that are carried away unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, see thou hold back. Amen. Do it, saints, do it. Matthew 18:1 says, in that hour came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called unto him a little child, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you turn and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you need to be great. You need to be a child. You'll escape. You'll be on the top of the wave instead of under the wave, right? You'll escape. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it's profitable for him that a great millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be sunk in the depths of the sea. Amen. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. That's denying your flesh right there, isn't it? That's a form of it. And of course, we're going to be called on. There's going to be a lot of homeless folks in the days to come. We're going to be called on to do what we can for everybody. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, but I will not forget thee. He will not forget those who forget them either. That's the bad thing. That's the bad side of that coin. Psalm 82:1, which is a psalm of Asaph. God standeth in the congregation of God. He judgeth among the gods. How long, he's talking about the junior gods there. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Judge the poor and the fatherless. Here we get into the weak and the helpless and so on for them. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Hey, that's coming too. And I said, ye are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. If God has a son, is it God? Well, of course, the spiritual man is God. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Not the Son of Man, it's the Son of God. Amen. And your Son of God in you has authority given by the Lord. So go and exercise it. Deuteronomy 21:9. So shalt thou put away the innocent blood from the midst of thee when thou shalt do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Proverbs 31:8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are left desolate. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and minister justice to the poor and needy. Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that hath mercy on the needy honoreth him. Isaiah 1:17. Learn to do well, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Deuteronomy 14:29. And the Levite, because he hath no portion nor inheritance with thee, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat, and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. Ooh. Acts 20:35. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Deuteronomy 10:18. He doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and loveth the sojourner, in giving him food and raiment. Psalm 10:8. He that sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places, doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the helpless. Rescue him. Rescue him from him. Don't let people go out and do such things, you know. They are doing it. And Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Save them. Save them from the wicked. Saints, we're called to do this. I know it gets us in trouble, but it's a sacrifice to the Lord that's acceptable to the Lord. So when we post this, you can go there, and we're going to call the name of it Repentance and Spiritual Warfare, I think. And so please, you know, think on this. You can look at the codes if you like. The first one is the nicest one, and maybe the second and last one was real good. All of them actually were talking about Donald Trump, you know, being president. And as I said, you can go online and find some that Hillary will be president. They didn't seem as solid to me. More like, you know, if you don't, I'm going to whip you. If you don't do right, I'm going to whip you. Okay? Anyway, I do think this has a lot of weight, especially the way it was given. So we'll see. Main thing is we do what God wants us to do, and that is, defend. The people who can't defend themselves, they may not know that they're in a bad area. They may not know. You may say, oh, they're not going to listen to me. Well, you never know. You could be a piece and somebody else could be a piece, and they could hear a news article and they could see the things that you're talking about, signs leading up to something. You know, just do it because it pleases the Lord, just because He wants you to, right? Don't always cop out. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask You to help us to be bold and in our faith and to seek You and do spiritual warfare against the enemies of God's people, like Moses commanded that Pharaoh to set God's people free. We can do the same thing, Lord. And we thank You for pointing that out to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just break the power of these demon forces, these principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. We just bind them and we cast them down in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for having mercy upon Your people and delivering them out of these very hard things that are coming upon the world. We thank You, Father, for having mercy. Lord, we cry for mercy. We cry for grace, Lord. And for those who are stubborn and self-willed and their mind is made up and they're just going to worship their false god and go their own way and do their own thing, well, Lord, give them a good slap on the face. Or like a few people I know of, send them to hell for a few minutes. Or, whatever you can do to bring them to the fear of the Lord and the faith of the Lord. Lord, do something quick for these people. That's why we cry out to You, Lord. Help us all to cry out. Bring to everybody's remembrance the things that we've said this day and make them to remember the things that are needed and needed to be prayed for, and let them pray in faith, believing, just like this Bible code says. It says, the saints win. Oh, glory be to God. But it's not fatalism that we're talking about here. There is a process to get there. And this is it. And we're talking about it right now. This is how we get there. We thank You, Father, for Your great mercy towards Your people, Lord. We don't deserve it. None of Your people in this country deserve it. But the shaking that's going to come, naturally speaking, I believe will be enough to grant God's people repentance. And Lord, we may not even need martial law. Praise God, if that's so. Whatever is necessary to grant people the fear of God and repentance, Lord, we want that without the judgment that takes them totally out. We just ask for Your mercy and Your grace, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we love You, Lord, and we thank You for showing us. We've been asking You to show us exactly what to pray for. And Lord, You're doing it. We thank You so much for Your mercy. And Father, Lord, help us to make time. Help us not to get distracted with things that have no eternal value. They don't even compare to the death of a soul or the death of someone who won't have time to grow up because they're taken out. Lord, let us put first Your kingdom and Your righteousness so that all these other things will be added unto us, Lord. Let us learn to walk by faith. Yes. We can do this. We can lay aside all the things that we want to do for a short period of time now, especially, and seek You. Seek first Your kingdom and seek you for the people's sake. You will hear our prayers, Lord. You want everything that you do, you do it through our prayers. And you said we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, we're going to ask. We're going to ask for your great mercy. We're going to ask that you do abundantly above all we can ask or think, Lord. And we're going to ask you to do all these things to preserve your people. And I'm sure we're going to be satisfied. I know that there will be a lot of grief because of the people who die and the people who are taken out and destroyed and all these things. But, Lord, also there's going to be a lot of joy among your people that you have answered prayer and you have delivered people out of the teeth of these sharks. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, may God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Keep me in your prayers. Good night.